Greetings from Vince Quattrini and the Legal Checkup, your program for legal tips and legal advice for all of the parts of your life. Today on Legal Checkup, we're going to talk about heart attacks, and we're going to focus on firefighters and policemen, but we're also going to talk about other heart attacks in the workplace generally. As I said, this is Vince Quattrini from the law firm of Quattrini Rafferty. And as many of you know, our firm has been around for 30 years. We're celebrating our 30th anniversary with offices in Pittsburgh, Greensburg, and Latrobe for the convenience of our clients. So, over the course of my many years of practice, I have had to sit with a number of widows who lost a spouse to a heart attack in the workplace. And to add to that tremendous emotional loss that an individual experiences when losing a spouse is the economic tragedy. The insurance companies typically will deny a work injury claim that arises out of a heart attack. They have lots of excuses. Blame it on age. Blame it on whether the individual was overweight, a smoker, pre-existing heart attacks. And so it's a challenge for us to be able to prove that claim and obtain income for the surviving spouse. Over the years, I've developed keen knowledge of how to put one of these claims together. I've worked with distinguished pathologists, including Cyril Wecht in Pittsburgh. I have used a professor at Harvard University, Stefanos Kales, who has a particular interest in firefighters and policemen, and I'm going to talk about that more as we converse this morning. So there's the physiology that goes into a heart attack, and a number of factors can influence whether you suffer a myocardial infarction, which is a blockage, or what is known as sudden death syndrome, which can be an electrical change, a change in rhythm of the heart, which then leads to a stoppage of the heart. Let me back up and talk about what is important if, God forbid, this should happen to someone you know. One of the hardest things for a spouse to address is having an autopsy done. And you're in the middle of trying to cope with this overwhelming grief and somebody suggesting to you that you should get an autopsy performed. Well, you can imagine what goes through one's mind about what's involved in an autopsy. But if I leave you with anything today as a takeaway, you owe it to yourself and to your friend or family member to convince them to have an autopsy done if the individual has suffered a fatal heart attack in the workplace, or that may be connected to the work activity, which didn't occur directly in the workplace. And we'll talk about that as well. I have actually communicated with clients during those hours after death, where I've made arrangements to have the autopsy performed by a qualified forensic pathologist. Again, not all physicians are created equal. And having the right forensic pathologist perform the autopsy will go a long way in my ability to be able to prove my case later. I've also proven cases without an autopsy. It's a bigger challenge. But again, I've learned what's important, and I have collaborated with physicians who understand both medicine and law in order to put the case together with the medical records and the history that we obtain from not only the surviving spouse, but coworkers. And I'll divert to that for a moment. Getting statements from coworkers that are close in time to when the fatal event occurred is also a critical element. Facts fade in one's memory as time goes on. So we try to reach out and record it, get it down in writing, so that later, when there's challenge occurring, we have a nice chronology that our medical expert can look to help corroborate, yes, Jim Smith, his coworker, wrote that on that particular day, Tony was doing very physical work in a very cold atmosphere, and I could see that he was struggling. Something to that effect, right? Where now the doctor's able to point to that as an important fact in concluding that the activities in the workplace contributed to the person's death. Talking about some legal facts and principles to put into this formula, we do not have to prove that the work event was the sole cause. The legal standard is if the work activities or event was a substantial contributing cause, then it is a compensable injury. You're listening to Vince Quattrini on The Legal Checkup. From the firm of Quattrini Rafferty, I've told you that we have offices in Pittsburgh, Latrobe, and Greensburg. And I tell you that because we try to make it as convenient for our clients, especially when we're talking about these overwhelming emotional experiences. We want to be able to do it in a comfortable atmosphere for our client closer to their home. Beyond that, I have often at times gone into the home. I will make a call to the house when somebody just feels that they can't come into the office in circumstances like this. So I'm working with my doctor to show that this work activity was a substantial contributing cause of our client's death. The autopsy is an important piece of the puzzle. Co-worker statements, another important piece of the puzzle. statements from the surviving spouse of what the person was experiencing that day, whether they left the house in good shape and were didn't observably show any problems. You know, those kind of statements can be helpful to this doctor at the ultimate end of making a determination on whether or not the work events caused the fatal event. So what we start with is collecting the medical records. Oftentimes, the EMT records can be critical in this conversation because they're recording medical information, statements from the individuals that are on the scene that, again, can point to whether something extraordinary happened that day. So we have the EMT records or ambulance records, emergency room records. Oftentimes, if the individual dies on the way to the hospital, you're stuck with just the emergency room records. No, just the EMT records. We go back and get records from the PCP, any other physicians that our client was seeing prior to death. And we put all this together as part of this picture. We're going to take a break right now in the program, and we'll be back to continue this conversation of fatal heart attacks in the workplace. This is Vince Quattrini on the Legal Checkup. Welcome back to the Legal Checkup with your host, Vince Quattrini. Today, this is part two of our conversation on fatal heart attacks in the workplace. A rather somber conversation, I admit, but a critical one that I wanted to share with our listeners because of my many experiences with this unfortunate event. I want to talk about some case studies in this half of the program. And if you think that you'd like to hear more about this particular subject, let us know. I always welcome calls. You can email me at vjq@qrlegal.com. And our telephone number is 888-288-9748. We always do free legal consultations as well. But the two cases that I wanted to focus on today, maybe more than two, one starts with a firefighter who was training other firefighters, and he suffered a fatal heart attack immediately after completing the training session, going downstairs, and they were actually rehydrating at the time when he died. They denied the claim. We went and obtained, as I talked to you about, Dr. Stefanos Kales from Harvard University and an excellent cardiologist out of the South Hills in Pittsburgh. And we were able to show that the temperature was a major factor. They were doing burning drills, and our client was in the midst of that hot, closed-in area, high temperature, clothing, and equipment. He's carrying 70 pounds of fire equipment on his back, wearing an outfit that is holding in his perspiration. Dehydration. He wasn't able to be hydrating while he was doing these drills. Physical activity. There's a measurement of physical activity called METS, METS, that physicians use to be able to tell you what kind of stress that's placing on the body and particularly the heart. We were able to extrapolate from the kind of activity he was doing into X number of METS, and our physicians were able to look at their calculations to say, yes, he was in a category that this could cause or precipitate a heart attack, a myocardial infarction. The amount of time between when you're doing the activity and when the death occurs can be a factor. The insurance industry tries to make it a big deal. The further away you are from the exact activity, but as we established in our firefighter case, there is no magic 1 hour rule. That's what they try to sell to the judge. So while time is a factor, we can show that it is not a deciding factor. And then you have a combination of all of the factors that I just mentioned, right? You don't have to look at them in isolation, but you look at what the combination of a high temperature, heavy clothing, heavy equipment, dehydration, physical activity, all of these things go together in helping the physician reach a conclusion that yes, the metabolic equivalent task, those are the words for the fancy term METS, was of such a level, along with dehydration, physical exertion. Carbon dioxide in the blood can be measured after the fact. The air temperature. So you look at all of these factors when you are trying to reach a conclusion as to whether the physical activity contributed to the death. We were successful in convincing the judge that our client's training that day was the substantial contributing cause of his death, and his widow and his son are still receiving weekly benefits to this day because of that successful conclusion. You're listening to Vince Quattrini on The Legal Checkup. You can call at any time and sit down with us for a free legal consultation. The number is 888-288-9748. And I always invite you to go onto our website, qrlegal.com, to learn more about us, more about me. We have some of these case studies listed so that you can get an idea of what is important when putting a case together. So I wanted to talk a little bit about Dr. Kale's recommendations. He says some basic things for firefighters and police officers. If you're suffering from hypertension, you should be on blood pressure medication. Why? There's a higher correlation between a cardiac event in firefighting and police work among individuals whose blood pressure numbers may only be slightly elevated. You should consider getting a flu shot. Why? Well, influenza makes you more susceptible to a serious medical event. Here's an obvious one. Watch your weight. Dr. Kell's warning is that obesity raises the risk of a serious medical event by 200 to 300%. And waist circumference, that belly of ours, and the number of inches to get the whole way around, is a very important factor. Exercise. Dr. Kells points out that only 20% of firefighters, and I suspect the same percentage of policemen, are doing sufficient exercise. He recommends that you be tested when you're hired. Determine if you can reach 12 METs. Remember, that's that metabolic equivalent task number of aerobic activity. Why 12? Well, at some point, firefighters or policemen are going to be required to perform 12 METs of exertion. And so you should know that you can tolerate that level by testing. I wanted to share another sad story. A client that works in a steel mill, member of the union, worked many hours, many years, 48 years old. He's now on his third shift over a 48-hour period. And here we go with the factors I talked about. Performing very physical activity in the steel mill. It's 18 degrees Fahrenheit. So now we're at the other end of the temperature scale where it can impact your ability to metabolize the oxygen in your blood. He's wearing a very heavy outfit because he's doing welding and activity around machines where otherwise he could be injured. He had just been tested because of some physical symptoms, and all of his heart tests came out normal. Well, about halfway through the shift, he collapsed and passed away right there at work. So you can see that, you know, these kinds of activities all factor in. They're all things that need to be considered by the pathologist or the cardiologist when trying to determine whether a successful claim can be filed. And again, we got into that case early. We were able to preserve important information for our client's case. I'm going to wrap up at this point by a couple takeaways. First, always, always, always report any injury or accident event, no matter how minor it seems at the time. That can be a prelude to what ends up being a fatal situation later. Second, in the case of death, the family should always obtain an autopsy. And third, every firefighter, every policeman, every steel worker, every construction worker should undergo baseline and annual physical examinations. This is Vince Quattrini. You've been listening to The Legal Checkup. I hope that our conversation today helps all of you if you ever face a work injury or a fatal claim in the workplace.